Oh my gosh, Familia, I am so happy to have Lenore Zan back on the podcast. Lenore, how are you?
Hello, darling. Hello, sugar.
I'm never not going to melt when you say hello, sugar.
I'm doing great. It's so good to see you and see both of you. I've been all around the world, literally, since I saw you last. Because I've been to Australia, where I was born, and visited my family down under. I'm back and ready for X-Men 97
to be released. It came out of the gate this month. But before we get into X-Men 97, we have for the first time ever on our podcast, Stefania, who is an iconic Rogue cosplayer, has an amazing YouTube channel, is a content creator. That Stefania, that video of you as Rogue coming out of the closet and looking at Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel and being like, surprise, surprise, like that. I mean, it took the internet by storm.
I was actually really surprised about that video. I'm gonna be honest. It's one of those videos that's like, oh, I'm just gonna make it for fun, and then it just blows up out of nowhere.
That's so great.
That's all it takes. You don't think about it.
I love it.
Wait, is this the first time?
Thank you for having me here.
Is this the first time you guys are meeting?
Yes.
Actually, no.
Actually, Stefania, let me think. Were you in the movie, the one about Rogue and Gambit?
No.
No.
People say I look like her, though.
Yeah, you do. Remind me.
We met at New York Comic Con.
Oh, in New York. Uh-huh. Okay, right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've done quite a bit of them the last year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Meet you on camera and be able to talk and to talk face and just chit chat.
Yes. Just actually have like a conversation and all like the, this is my first time at New York Comic Con. So like I was very overwhelmed with the experience. So it's nice to just actually have a conversation this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lenore, was that your first time at New York Comic Con as well? I know you went with Unknown Comics.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was. And it was fantastic. I loved every single minute of it. I loved being back in New York. I did live in New York for a few years when I was doing theater off-Broadway. I did a play called Unidentified Human Remains and the True Nature of Love off-Broadway. At the Orpheum Theater, where they do Stomp, where Stomp ran for many, many years after that. And I lived in the East Village. So it was just so great to be back. I love New York.
Well, New York loves having both of you guys at New York Comic Con. But, you know, since New York Comic Con and the month since, there has been a little trailer that dropped called X-Men 97 that took the internet by storm. I want to, because we have very different, you know, perspectives here. I want to know, Lenore, how do you feel finally getting this trailer out? And Stefania, I want to know, what was your reaction when you saw it? And Lenore, why don't we kick off with you?
Well, I'll tell you, it was very interesting because the day it dropped, I was flying from the States back to Nova Scotia, where I live, in order to attend a premiere of an independent small film that I was acting in, you know, live action film called The Madones. And, you know, anyone who knows anything about film knows independent films, you know, you're doing a little tiny indie film in the middle of a blockbuster world. It's hard for them to get any attention, let alone money, you know. And so to be flying in for that, and then suddenly the X-Men trailer dropped like while I was in between planes and the internet went crazy. So it's like that juxtaposition was so bizarre and so exciting. So I was thrilled.
Yeah. So you saw my video, right?
Yes. Your video where you're like, I want to thank whoever did this power fusion between Gambit and Wolverine.
Yes. Yes. And then like a whole bunch of people that worked on it just commented on the video tagging Jake, and I was like, thank you for this, because this is the most iconic thing I've ever seen. Like, I never thought that could happen. First of all, people were saying like, oh, like he's gonna like blow him up, whatever. Like, no, he could control it. We all know Gambit here, he can control that. But yeah, I was freaking out. I actually saw it 10 10 times that day, I want to say. I had to just keep watching it and watching it
I have
just to
to
really
say,
let it
I
sink
watched
in.
it times too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it times too. It was really good, wasn't it?
It was. It really had that nostalgia effect. So the beginning where it showed the last episode of the previous show and then bringing it into the new era of X-Men, and it had such like a really I had a really good feeling inside just
Yeah,
for it.
me too.
I felt like a kid, even though
Yeah.
I didn't watch it until like I was a bit older, but I felt like a kid.
The colors were so crisp. Everything was crisp,
Yes.
bright, and just beautiful, really.
Yes. And the
Yeah.
animation, I love the animation. I know a lot of people were saying, it looks weird. I'm like, I love it. It's giving
No,
me
it looks great. I'm sorry to interrupt. It
like
looks great.
yeah, it does. It was giving me like kind of like anime vibes, the way it was not smooth animation, but it felt really good and really cool to see.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Well, I thought, listen, I couldn't sleep fortuitously that night. I couldn't sleep. And I started getting DMs about a potential trailer release. And then the images slowly kept coming in. And I went crazy. I'm in our New York place and I like jumped out of bed. I woke up my husband. I went into the kitchen and I just started seeing everything coming in. And when I saw Rogue playing basketball in the Jim Lee inspired Rogue, and the first thing that came to my mind was like, should I text Lenore? Because this looks so, the way even Rogue is drawn is your energy. That
Thank
is
you.
your energy there. And just her on like the basketball court like that with Gambit next to her, I was like, oh, that is Lenore energy if I ever saw it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait for the fans to see the whole thing and to see like the whole episodes. Like it's gonna be epic.
So let me ask you both, what do you think sets Rogue apart as a character?
Why don't you go first on this one, sweetheart?
Thank you. This Rogue that we see, I mean, every iteration of her that we see, she's very independent. Like, she had to really bring herself up when she was younger. She ran away, she was young, and then Mystique took her in and raised her. But she always was this like independent girl. Like, she could do things on her own, she's strong enough. And I feel like she also knows how to have fun when there is time to have fun. Like, she's strong, she's serious, but she knows how to have fun. She's got that Southern Belle vibe. She's literally Southern Belle. So I just love her energy. I think she has some of the best energy in the team, in all of X-Men. And her dynamic with other characters, like with Wolverine or with Bobby, with Gambit, they're all unique. They're all different. She knows how to vibe with everybody. She's kind of like universal. Like, I also describe this as myself too, where I have different friend groups and I just feel like I can hop between each one and I'm like a universal friend. That's the vibe that she gives.
Boom. Well, that's so interesting because I feel like the role was written for me because she's very much like I am in real life and always have been. And one of the things she's independent, but she's also a loner. And she's a loner because she can't touch anybody skin to skin. And so there's a part of her that doesn't trust herself. And I think this is something that a lot of people can relate to, and which is why a lot of people do relate to her, because there's a part of her that can't let herself go completely to fall in love and trust another and be close and be intimate with someone else, because in her mind, she's afraid she will kill them. She's afraid she will hurt them. And so it makes her have to hold back a certain part of herself and never quite give all of herself to anybody, which makes her a loner. And, in the episode I talk about a lot called The Cure, where she goes to Muir Island. She wants to be normal like everybody else so that she can actually touch someone and hopefully have a family, you know. In the end of that episode, she realizes that actually it's these unique qualities that she has that she curses sometimes that actually make her unique, and that she can do things uniquely that nobody else can do, and that she's there for a bigger purpose than just herself. She is there to use those powers for good, to try and help mankind and mutant kind from destroying themselves, each other, and the world.
I'm sorry. That is such a beautiful, both of you have such beautiful interpretations of Rogue that are so accurate and true. And I have to tell you, the thing about Rogue, and Lenore, I believe you said this on the EW quote article that ran with Bo, where this journey of self-acceptance for her is something that mirrors not only just outcasts in general, but LGBTQIA plus folks. And there is something about Rogue. She is the strongest, most confident person in the room, but she's also the one who has a lot holding inside of her. And she's afraid to make that connection with other people for reasons both of you have just stated. And I think that's why the character just speaks to someone who feels that way at a certain point in their life. I will say, though, candidly, just being a little bit more superficial here, I was on the playground talking to Carlos Medina back in like 1994, and I got a little trading card with Rogue on it, and I just flipped it to the back, and it said her name was unrevealed, that she could absorb people's memories. And for me, coming off of like characters like Superman or Wonder Woman, having a character with that much dynamic with Rogue, not only the way she looked, but sort of how her powers work, it was one of a kind. And then all of a sudden, because of your portrayal, Lenore, she is a household name. Everyone knows Rogue. And now I immediately know how she sounds like. And it's just, it's a different character that had ever been put out there at that time. It was just, she was so ahead of her time.
Thank you. And it's interesting because people say, well, did you know how successful the show was when you guys were doing it back in the 90s? And we always say, well, no. First of all, there was no internet. There was no email. There was no Wikipedia. There was nothing, right? There was no social media. And so it was like we were acting and performing in a void. We would do our performances in the studio in Toronto, Sounds Interchange. And we would laugh and guffaw and tease each other and have a whale of a time. And then we'd go outside and go drinking, to be honest, there's a few of us. And we with Wolverine and me and Cyclops and a number of others, they'd pop in and out. And we just sit in the sunshine after a session and, you know, shoot the shit and have a great old time. And we had no idea how successful and how popular the show would be. And it's taken really until the last 4 years for us to start to realize just how big the show really became.
Really? The last 4 years? I'm not too surprised because we've talked about it, but it's still wild to me. Is this story true, or am I making it up, that you guys were getting fan mail and it was being kept in another room? So you guys didn't even see the fan mail.
It wasn't even being kept in another room. It was being kept in Los Angeles. At Fox Kids, you know, at Fox Kids, the story is Julia Leewald, one of the two writers, went to Fox Kids, who was the first, you know, Fox Kids and Saban Entertainment produced it, thank God, and thank you to them for doing it. And she went there one day for a meeting, and she went into a hallway, and there was all this mail piled up in these blue bins all the way down the hall and up to the ceiling. Like mail up to the ceiling. And then she went around the corner, same thing. It just went on for two whole long hallways. And she went into the meeting. She said, what's the story with the mail out there with all that stuff? And they went, oh, well, that's for X-Men. That's for X-Men. That's all the fan mail from around the world, from all the kids. And we never got it. None of us ever received any of it. We weren't able to write back. And we feel terrible now knowing that kids wrote in all excited, wanting to hear from the X-Men.
Hi,
And
yes, right here.
oh, I'm so sorry.
Right here. I'm
Well,
still waiting for my response.
now you know why you didn't hear back. We would have written
Tiffany
back.
Amber Thiessen wrote back to me. Shannon Doherty wrote back to me, but Rogue didn't, Lenore.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, hopefully we're making up for lost time now.
Wait,
Have the opportunity to ask it now, whatever you wrote in that letter.
No, I'm gonna have to unearth it. But Stefania, I'm curious because you just said that you saw the animated series as an adult. Did you not know of Rogue growing up? When was like the first moment you ever came across of Rogue, be it in the comics or anywhere else?
So I want to say I have a very bad memory. I want to say my first introduction to Rogue and the X-Men was back in either 2019 or 2020. I want to say it was probably during COVID I really got into them more, because when COVID happened, I was like so excited. I was like, oh yeah, no school, blah, blah, blah. But then over time, I was like, I'm actually getting really depressed. Like, I miss going to school and missing my friends, especially my best friend. So that was really hard for me. And then I was always this person growing up that would have a big imagination. So I would always create these concepts or scenarios or characters, kind of a way to get away from the world, escape. I was always into like fantasy stuff like Harry Potter and Star Wars. That was my thing. And I created this one character in my head. I was already a big Marvel fan at the time. I already went to the movies, seen them, MCU, and all that. And I created this character in my head. I was like, this will be fun. She was a very powerful girl that could absorb other superheroes or villains' powers. And I made her very OP. Like, she could keep them permanently. She was like super strong. She took Thor's power and all that. And I never gave her a name because I'm terrible with names. Terrible. So then I was looking through the internet one day. I was researching like most powerful Marvel superhero. I don't know why, just randomly. I was bored. So then Rogue came up on some of these lists and I was like, this sounds familiar. So she's basically like a character I thought I created but was already created. And I finally gave her a name. Like, that was her name. That's who it was.
Wow.
So that was my first introduction to her. And after I done more research on her and the X-Men, I started to find a lot more connections between me and Rogue. I was like, okay, this is my girl right here. She's becoming my girl right now. Like, even with her name, I don't go by Rogue, but like her name in different countries. So like Vampira and Titania down in South America, they use those names. I was like, wait a minute. I played Titania in A Midsummer Night's Dream in like middle school. In my literature class, like, my teacher loved how I performed the role, and she was like, you're gonna perform it every class now. I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, there's that connection. Vampira, like, sucking the life out of you. I've always wanted to be a vampire when I was a kid. I had a whole big thing with vampires. So that was like my other connections I found with Rogue. I was like, even in the name, there's a connection. And yeah, that's where it started. I didn't cosplay her until Halloween of 2020.
Oh,
And
wow.
then, yeah. And then, not really cosplay. I just dressed up for Halloween and I wanted to be her. But I look back at those photos now and I'm like, just one photo I have. And I'm like, wow, I look completely different. From then till now, I lost 40 pounds.
Oh,
So, like,
wow.
looking back then, I'm like, wow, I look so different. But yeah. That's where it all originated from. I binge watched the X-Men during COVID. Like, they were kind of my safe space during
Oh.
COVID. I was getting like really depressed and sad, and that's actually why I lost a bunch of weight, because I gained a lot of COVID weight. And so I got inspired to start eating better and working out more, and then putting cosplay in between all that. So yeah.
Fantastic. What a great story. I'm so sorry that you went through that during COVID, and I know so many people did. And my heart just goes out to young people who are like, felt like their lives were put on hold, and what did the future hold?
Yeah.
and still trying to really make up lost time and trying to figure out where you fit in. But in some ways, putting a pause on life like that, if we survived it, may be a good thing because it helps you put in perspective what your true priorities want to be for the rest of your life and to realize how short life is. And you might as well make as much of it as you can while you can.
Yeah, exactly. I after COVID happened and a few years went by, I thought maybe it was meant to be where I couldn't go to the south of France. I was supposed to go to the Cannes Film Festival because I'm a film, well, not am, I was a film student. And I also did theater as well in college and loved that. That's basically what I wanted to do after college. So doing theater during COVID was actually really rough. When we came back in 2021, I was a senior and we did another Shakespeare play, A Winter's Tale. And that was difficult because we didn't really have like a set and we didn't have a TD to make anything for us. So we also had to wear masks on stage. So we had to really project extra, like more. We weren't
That's
mic'd up. So it was really weird performing like that. It
I
was
bet.
really, really weird. But
Imagine
yeah.
we're doing it in mask. I mean, we talk about doing something in mask in theater, but not that kind of mask.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe if you put the smiley thing or the frowning thing or the
Yes.
ooh thing on the mask.
Yeah, I just remember I was wearing a black mask. I remember the lights beaming down. I was wearing a black dress too, and it was very hot. I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
I'm like projecting so much because I have to, and it's just getting really hot under this thing, but we have to do this.
It's funny. It's funny, but not funny. But but that we have that in common too. Because one of the things that I well, of course, I had a theater. I've had a theater career, still do. That's what my first love was, theater. Before I went into movies and television, and then radio, and then voiceovers and animation as well. But when I was a politician for the 12 years between 2009 and 2021, one of the things I did as an elected member of both of well of the legislature in state government in Canada was every summer I would produce and direct a Shakespearean production outdoors in the park, and we called it Shakespearean Victoria Park because the park was called Victoria Park. And the first show I chose to do was Midsummer Night's Dream, and I love that play. That's my favorite Shakespeare play. And if I was ever going to be in it, yes, I would want to play Titania. And I actually play that role, Titania, in The Fairly Odd Parents. That is a role that I play. I do the voice of. But yeah, I did five Shakespearean productions each year with the community and with the youth in the community and adults. But then when COVID hit, we couldn't do theater anymore. So that was I really missed it. And I missed working with the kids and getting the excitement and, introducing them to Shakespeare and then doing it for our community. So I hear you loud and clear.
I loved theater. I loved doing theater. My first time doing it was actually in the fourth grade. This is going to be weird, okay? Because you would never think this would be performed by fourth graders. We did Gone with the Wind as a stage
Wow.
production.
That's
And you
cool.
know who I played? I played Scarlett O'Hara. I
Yay!
played the sweet Southern Belle Scarlett O'Hara. I was
Oh, there
actually
you
one
go.
of like six Scarlets because, we had to give like there was so many people in theater and you had to give
Right.
room to everyone. So there was like six of us. But I did get to say her famous line in the movie where she talks about Tunic's role and never going hungry again. So I really like to say that all the
That's
time.
so cool.
Was it your love for that character that when you see Rogue, when you hear Lenore's voice, you're like, oh my gosh, I have a rapport with this character, especially in the animated series?
So, like when I was reading the comics, she was referenced as Scarlett O'Hara a few times, and I was like, no way, no, like that was another name that I had a connection with. I was like, no way she was referenced as that because I played her in the fourth grade. Really random thought that I had. But
Cool.
yeah.
Cool.
It's so weird. Every time I tell people that, they're like, "Gone with the Wind at the fourth grade." I'm like, "Don't ask. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I love this common thread that you have, but that both of you have. And Lenore, I wanted to pull on something you said about being a stage performer and then going into to audition for Rogue. I know there's a lot that probably happened in between, but one of the things that Lee Waltz said Eric has discussed is that they really wanted actors who were going to be able to sink their teeth in this. And a lot of your contemporaries, your castmates, were very versed in Shakespeare. So I'm curious, how did you get that initial call that you were going to go in for something like X-Men? What was like going through your thought process where you're like, well, this is just a comic book character, but you still brought your A game? Like, what were you given? And then what was your approach once you went in to audition for the role?
Thank you for that question. Well, first of all, I got to say, the interesting thing about the X-Men, the animated series in the 90s, was that the producers and director had already tried using like voiceover actors, people who just mainly do voice cartoons, and they found it was just too cartoony, for want of a better word, just too overdone and not really, didn't have the gravitas that they were looking for these serious topics that are dealt with in our series. And so they said, well, what about theater people? What about if we go after some really good theater people with theater chops? And that's why then they put out a call for people, and they specified that they would like people who had a theater background. So my agent in Toronto at the time, I had just come back from New York from doing Unidentified Human Remains and The True Nature of Love in New York off Broadway. I came back home to Canada, to Toronto, and my agent said, go audition for this animated series. They're looking for somebody with your background, your acting chops, your experience, who has a husky, sexy, low voice, and who can do a Southern accent. And I had done a number of Southern accents already in film and TV, so she knew that I could do that. But I didn't go and audition that first time because I just thought at the time it was like 92 or 91 or whatever. And I thought, eh, animation, I'm a serious actress, So I didn't actually go and audition. So then about a month or so later, she called me again and she said, Lenore, they still haven't found the right actor to play this character. And I know it's because it's you. So get your ass in gear, get down to the studio and audition. So I did. And I went in and I saw that the beautiful, iconic drawing of Rogue standing there with her hand on her hip and the red hair flying and the white stripe up the middle and this real sassy attitude. And I just thought, yeah, I can do
Ha
that. Yeah.
ha
And I just liked her right from the get-go,
ha.
and then I went into this booth and I put the headphones on, and the producers and director Larry Houston were in Los Angeles, and so they were talking to me through the headphones, and I just did the monologue, and I always remember it. My daddy liked to kill himself when he found out I was a mutant. Get out of my mind. I remember I had me a boyfriend when I was 13. Had me a boyfriend till I kissed him. Poor boy went into a coma for 3 days. God, so if I touched anybody, just drove the life right out of him. Oh, I don't know. You know everything, Beast. What makes us like the way we are anyway? And I did that, and then there was this scream. I heard these screams in the
Look at
headphones.
Stefania even right now.
Right? And they were like,
Stefania, I'm sorry.
don't
Look
let
at
her leave
Stefania right now.
the building. Don't let her leave. That's the voice. That's Rogue. That's the one we've been waiting for. And then, the rest is history.
I love it. Well, do you remember that Larry was talking about this in New York, excuse me, San Diego Comic-Con a couple summers ago when we went? And I said, and she's right here. And I pointed to you, and everyone in the audience. Like Stefania, if you would have seen it, everyone gasped when they saw that Lenore was at their panel. And we had to, like, you were swarmed. We were trying to get you out, and people were just following you. Yes, because that story is iconic. Because I cannot imagine that when you went in to go read for Rogue, their mouths didn't just drop. And it's so funny
Thank you.
because when we were at MegaCon, just what was it, like a month ago or something like that?
Yeah,
And I was with Jeff, and we had gone and seen some of the other voice actors. Jeff turned to me and he was here like, wow, out of all of like the voice actors, Lenore is Rogue. Like you hear it in her voice and everything. I'm trying to like, you just went in and you just read how you thought with and your voice, and you just put in like a little southern accent.
that's
Okay.
it. The only difference is it's got the southern accent, because my voice can go really low or
Yeah.
really high. I'm a singer. I mean, I started off doing musicals. I played Marilyn Monroe in a rock opera on the life of Marilyn Monroe when I was 20 years old. I got discovered at 19 and cast playing Marilyn Monroe in a rock opera about her life, taking her life from the age of 16 when she was Norma Jean all the way through to 36 when she died of a booze and drug overdose. That was my kickstart, and that's sort of what put me on the map in theater and in the entertainment industry. And the movie roles and TV roles started coming right after that. So, because of that background and because of my singing, I still sing. I've got an album coming out. I can pitch my voice whichever way I want it. But so Rogue is in my lower voices, except of course when I'm going to scream, then it just goes through the roof. I
See, I
noticed.
think
Oh, sorry. Go
sorry.
ahead. Go ahead.
I think people should just cast theater kids more often. I mean, because like I feel like theater people, not, saying anything about film actors, but theater people just have a lot more of a, what's it called, range in acting and performing, 'cause in theater you're trained to be dramatic, or have to kind of like overperform a bit, because you have the people that are sitting all the way in the back, so they have to see you, and you have to be exaggerated a bit. And that's what I actually love most about doing theater, is being on the stage. And I remember when, before COVID, 2019, we did this play called The Wolves, and it's about a high school girl soccer team, indoor soccer team. And it's usual, like, it's a comedy, but some sad things happen, and it's just this usual, like, conversations of girls talking before practice starts. We're in a circle. Every scene is like in a circle warming up, and there's multiple conversations going on. It's usually played in the round, so you can see everyone. And I loved doing that show. Someone from the Kennedy Center American College Theater program for Region One, that's for our region, came and saw us and actually invited us to perform at the festival in Cape Cod.
Oh,
So we got
congrats.
to perform at the festival, and we performed. It was amazing, because we performed in front of 600 people. It was all theater people in the crowd, and theater people are always the most like cheerful when you're
Yeah.
performing.
Effusive.
Yes.
Clap. We are there because we know what it's
Yep.
like to be on stage and need
Yep.
from the audience.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved being there. And I remember we got a standing ovation for our performance. And I remember holding hands with my friends, and we were taking our bows, and we were really milking in the bows and the cheers. And I just remember like starting to tear up. I was like crying. I was like, at that moment, I was like, this is exactly what I'm doing for the rest of my life. This
Oh,
right
I
here.
love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of
You know,
course.
it's we when you're on stage and you're performing with an audience, I believe you're sharing energy. It's an
Yes.
energy thing. You give out a lot of energy to the audience, and you take in their energy, and they take in your energy, and they give you their energy. So it's this real, like a wave, like an ebb and flow, like the ocean. And it's so powerful. And they say, good theater, when it's done properly, can lead an audience to have a cathartic experience. You probably read about that, learned about that in theater history. That a cathartic experience where they feel like they've forgotten all about their regular, ordinary lives, and they've been taken on this adventure, this story, this, and they're so caught up in it that they're just in it. And then eventually they are brought back, like it peaks, then they're brought back, and then they kind of open their eyes, and man, there they are in their seats again, and they're forever changed. And I think, to be honest, like the X-Men does that for people too. The
I was
X-Men, the
about to
animated.
say that. I was like, that was the
Yes.
reaction I had as a kid, especially with your performance, Lenore. Like, is that so that's the mindset you went in with Rogue when they were like, don't let her leave. One, I have to ask, did you leave or did you just turn around? And
No,
like, now you got to
I
sign my contract. You're stuck
stuck
around.
around.
So you got the offer, and then how soon did you start working once they?
I can't remember exactly how soon it was. It was probably only a couple of weeks because I came
Gotcha.
in for the callbacks. And I know when Allison Seeley Smith says that she came in for some calls, there had been a number of calls as well. So it was probably pretty soon after that. But
Okay.
I mean, I was ready to rock and roll. I felt pretty comfortable in that character. And in spite of the fact that they did fire a couple of people after the first recordings, like they went through a number of storms before Allison.
Yeah.
So we were a little bit nervous every time we came in as to whether we were going to be the next one to get offed. And of course, poor Morph. I mean, his character got killed in the second episode. So we were like, oh God, we better be good, you know?
He's coming back. It's okay. They're coming back.
He did come back. Yeah. He had to come back because apparently they did those tests with audiences after the first season, and so many people liked his character that they had to decide to bring him back.
There was such a beautiful focus on Rogue that first season. And my favorite episode till this day is The Cure. And it's the one you talked about, Lenore, earlier in the episode, where it's like there's no cure for who you are, and Rogue coming to terms with her mutant powers. I'm curious because I've heard this with large ensemble casts, you're always sort of surprised that your character has a spotlight. What was your reaction when you got that script for The Cure and it was going to be Rogue focus and we were going to get her origin and a lot of that, the themes that we would see play out in the X-Men was going to rest, no pressure, but it was going to rest on your shoulders and you delivering and selling this performance as Rogue?
Well, to be clear, really, our X-Men, we're a team and we are an ensemble. And there isn't like one star versus another. None of us look at it that way. And so when we were doing the show that first season, Rogue was in them, but she wasn't like the focus point for them. I think the very first time she became the focus point was A Rogue's Tale. Was that in the first season? I think it
No,
was.
it came later on. It came
Did
later
it come
on.
later on? Okay.
Yeah.
So when I did get a spotlight on my character, it just felt exciting. I was excited because it's like, oh, good. Now we're going to find out more about her backstory, which, from the beginning, you didn't really get her backstory until later. And A Rogue's Tale, you really get her backstory. And that one was even more exciting for me because I just felt like, okay, now you're going to find out about why she is the way she is, what happened to her as a kid, as a teenager. And when she finally was, roaming around the world, the universe, trying to figure out where she belonged, which is another reason why I think people relate to her. Traipsing around trying to figure out, where do I belong? Where's my tribe? Who's my family? I'm all alone here. And then I love the story where it goes, and then he called out,
Yeah.
and he was
He saved you.
Professor X and said, "Mutant, you're tired, you're lonely, you're in pain. We can help you. Come to us. This is where you belong." And then she finds her family, her extended family, and her home, and she finally becomes one with the group and with the team, and she feels like she finally belongs. And I love that.
So, on this conversation of Rogue and discovering her family. And her tribe. I want to ask you both. And Stefania, maybe we kick off with you. You're Googling Rogue, you're finding out all about her, and then you see a related article, Gambit. What was your initial first impression of Gambit? And Lenore, I'll throw the question to you as well. When you first found out that she was going to have this love interest called Gambit.
Woo! Okay, so really, you want to get into it? Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
So let me get comfortable. So I don't remember like finding him online, but I just remember reading the comics and Jim Lee's comic run, and I saw that shirtless. I saw that shirtless panel. I'm gay, but I was like, I can't be attracted to a character in a comic book right now.
You're like,
I was
Gap
like,
it.
wow.
Yeah.
I was like, I love. Okay, so this is a little. It's a little embarrassing to reveal, but like I read fan fictions growing up, okay? I'm sure like a lot of people have, but like I read fan fictions growing up because I was a huge One Direction fan and they had so many fan fictions and I was like, I'm on that. I'm on that. And I loved the concept of like on-off relationships or like not they were a bit toxic, you know. But like their relationship. I loved that it was on and off. I loved that they were always like teasing each other. And then eventually, it took them a long time. They eventually found themselves. They couldn't be together if they felt independent of like each other. You know, like, how do I word this? They had to find themselves before they could be together, really. They had to find out who they were as a person before they
Yeah.
could really come together any night. So I love that about them. But yeah, then they got married and I was like, thank you. But yeah, I saw him and then I saw the animated series and I heard Chris Potter's voice and I was like, wow,
I
this is the
know.
voice. This is the voice right here. It just full
So nice.
circle, complete. But yeah,
So nice.
really, I think I want to say Jim Lee's version of Rogue really made me fall in love with, not Rogue, Gambit
Yeah.
really made me, well, both
Yeah.
fall in love with them. But Gambit, I was like, wow.
I have to tell you, being a kid going to I grew up in Miami on Calle Ocho, and I went to Line Drive Beeper and Comics, and I picked up the Lee Weeks Gambit series, and seeing how he was drawn there, I mean, my little brain couldn't fathom that this Adonis existed in the pages before me.
Yes.
So I listen, I am Team Gambit on that, but Lenore, I'm curious for you behind the scenes. When did you meet Chris? What were your impressions of Gambit as you were being fed this information? And were you like, okay?
You know, I love the fact that Rogue had somebody that she, you know, deep in her heart, secretly underneath the surface, was madly attracted to, but couldn't allow herself to do anything about. And the way Gambit looks and the way he behaves and the way he acts, everything, he really reminded me of my first long-term boyfriend, Paige Fletcher, who played, well, he was in RoboCop, the TV series. He played RoboCop. And before that, he was in a series called The Hitchhiker. Rutger Hauer played the character in the movie The Hitchhiker, and then a TV series was developed. And my boyfriend, my then boyfriend, Paige Fletcher, played The Hitchhiker. And he wears blue jeans and a faded brown leather jacket, and he's hitching through town. And wherever the hitchhiker shows up, mysterious things occur. And so for me, that was, I was 16 when I fell in love with him. And we were together till I was 24. And so for me, I just had to pull on that deep, deep love, that falling in love for the first time and play that. And Chris and I knew each other through the business, through television. We'd done some TV and stuff like that together. And so when we met on for X-Men, we just immediately liked each other. We got along very well, and the chemistry was lovely. He was married at the time, actually, so was I. And so, you know, so it was just a really lovely, easy relationship. And I let my imagination do the work.
Wait, did you guys record together your scenes? I've been under the impression that voice actors record separately, but did you and Chris record?
Well, no, in the beginning of X-Men, the first series in the 90s, we all were in the same room together when we recorded the episodes. And if someone couldn't be there because they were shooting or something, they just weren't there, and then they'd bring them back and do them by themselves. Or if they were doing a scene with somebody where they felt the timing was important and the energy was important, they'd do us together. So we did both. But in the beginning, all of us were in the same room on different mics, taking turns doing it like a radio play.
Interesting. And
Yeah.
is that how and it, how it was that how it would go on for
For
seasons
about
later on?
No, but it was probably like the first season. Maybe like some people say they remember maybe only 5 or 6 episodes like that. I seem to think it was the first season, but it, after that they got us all individually or sometimes in twos if they could. But we were a little bit more scattered around the globe. I was in on the West Coast or in New York or in LA or Vancouver a lot of the times, and I'd have to fly back and forth and stuff like that.
So it's really curious because that was a really big era for X-Men, and the Jim Lee designs were everywhere. As Stefania said, I mean, Gambit, I mean, there was no one cooler than Gambit. There was no one more iconic than Rogue and Storm and Cyclops. When you go out, you're recording, you do the first season, people are watching it, you get picked up a second time, and you see all of this stuff happening. Like, did you see like the X-Men FLIR cards? Did you happen to go to a toy store and see the action figures there and think, my God, like I'm part of
Nope.
this, like Juggernaut. No, they
Nope.
didn't send you the Rogue figure, like that Rogue figure that was like a chase figure. I know, like, thank you, Stefani. Like,
No.
that Rogue figure was so hard to find. I cannot believe, and it's based off of you.
I didn't
Yeah.
even know it existed. I mean, really, I didn't know until later. Yeah, no, I always say they gave us a jacket, an X-Men jacket, and then Cal always corrects me and go, no, Lenore, you remembered it wrong. They made us buy those jackets.
No,
Okay,
wait.
all right, okay.
What
In
were
my
the
mind, they gave them to us, but
what did
and
the jackets look like?
well, they're Cal wears one all the time. He's got the one with the yellow sleeves, yellow leather, and
Yeah.
black, and
I
it's got
gotcha.
Wolverine on it. And it's got the claws on the back that says X-Men. So I've got one like that, but with blue leather
I
sleeves.
gotcha.
And they gave us a cell. They did give us a cell, each of our characters. I remember that. But again, like with Gambit, I mean, I always fell for the bad boys. I just fell for the mad, bad, and dangerous to know type. And that type, while they are sexy and fun to be with, they aren't necessarily the best Marion type, if you know what I mean. So Rogue's got her hands full, so to speak. And as you said, Stefania, people oftentimes need to learn who they are. They have to learn
Yes.
to appreciate and accept themselves for who they are before they can actually have a healthy relationship with somebody else.
Yes, that's how I always see it, like for myself. I need to figure out my life and get my life on track before I can actually share my life with somebody else.
Exactly. And I talk a lot about being sober and finding sobriety. In April, actually April the 12th, I'll have 28 years of sobriety, free from alcohol. And I just I'm so glad to be in this space, in this place, because when I did X-Men the first time, like 92 to 96, I was still drinking, and I quit drinking just at the in 96, that at that last season. So I think if I hadn't quit drinking, I wouldn't even have been there to make that last season. I would have been gone, as many of my friends are.
Oh my
Wow.
gosh. It's goosebumps there. Can I ask the se with the seasons, Stefania, which one's your favorite season? Lenore, what was your favorite season personally, and maybe which was your favorite season to record?
I can't remember the one season from another, other than just I always enjoyed hearing that there was going to be another season.
Wait, how would they deliver that news to you? Would Larry Houston just be like, hey?
Just through our agent. And
Okay.
the writers, Eric and Julie Leewald, talk about it too and say, they didn't know from one season to the next whether or not they were going to be hired again either. So all of us were told at the end of each season, well, thank you very much and thanks for your work and and off you went. You had to find other work, you had to go and take other jobs and never and you had to kind of put it out of your mind and go, well, if it comes back, great. If it doesn't, oh well. And that last season, it was kind of like that one we knew was going to be the last one. Like they really made an effort to tell us that. And so to hear 30 years later that we're coming back was a godsend. It was really just amazing. Like a bolt, a lightning bolt out of the sky. And I got to say thank you to Disney, to Marvel, to Bo, to Mayo, and to the fans. Without the fans, we wouldn't be coming back.
Well,
So.
fans like Stefania here, who discovered it in 2020 and just binged it right
Amazing.
there during the pandemic, because
Yeah.
Disney undoubtedly saw that spike. And I remember when it hit Disney Plus and they had icons of the different characters, all your characters. And I was like, oh, they're planning something. They're gauging the interest here.
Oh, that's
So
interesting.
it was,
Yeah.
I think it was Patrick Brown who had done some illustrations for the Disney store, and then those icons had appeared before anything would have been announced. But wait, Stefania, before I turn it over to you, I wanted to ask Lenore, in the original series, while you were recording, there is one person I think most people will want to know, had you met, had you seen on come into the recording booth, Stan Lee. Did you ever have a mo no?
Never.
No.
Never met him. No. He didn't come to Toronto to see us, but we didn't no, we I never met him. I would have loved to. I would have loved to. But unfortunately, no, he passed and before I had the opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was talking, we had Margaret Lesh on the podcast last year.
Fantastic.
She was talking all about Stan and how energetic he was. And I think there was this misconception that sometimes he could be a little grumpy with what was happening with the series, but it was actually the opposite. He was so proud of the work you all were
Oh.
doing. And I love that so much.
That's
But
great. I'm so glad. I
why
have
are they?
met Michael Golden and Chris Claremont, however, who co-created Rogue. And so that's been really exciting. I've been at a number of Comic Cons now with both of them, and I love hearing them talk about how they created her.
Okay, but Chris must be in love with you because Chris is such a
Yes.
saucy, like, individual. You're both of your energies
Yes.
coming together to be a fly on the wall backstage seeing you guys talk.
Well, I loved both of them, and it was very interesting to hear them talk about how they created Rogue to be, a villain. And interestingly, Michael Golden, the artist, said he was told, "Oh, yeah, make her look a bit like Grace Jones," and they said she's got kind of a Grace Jones vibe, but she's, so. But she's white. But he says he didn't realize that Grace Jones was a black woman, which
Yes.
surprised me.
Yes.
But in the beginning, when you see Rogue, she's got kind of like this, like almost like a mohawk kind of. She's got the hair up with the white stripe in the middle, right? And she's got this kind of, like this sassy attitude, but a little bit more brusque, a little bit more almost masculine. And then they were told, okay, now she's going to be going over to the good guys, so make her look a little bit different. So, and then she sort of morphed into the what she looks like now. So I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I actually learned that story from one of my friends who works with Michael Golden at cons sometimes. And he was saying how Chris and Mike were having a conversation. I think this was like before New York Comic Con because they were both there, about creating Rogue. And they were talking about how that happened and the communication was off. Like, no, she's not supposed to be white. She's supposed to be black. And it was like, oh, well, you didn't tell me that. I don't know what she looked like. So I just drew whatever. I was like, I can so imagine them going back and forth and talking about that. Like that's the kind of energy that I love to see behind comic book writing and creating characters. Just that you get that banter back and forth, but it's creative banter and it may be like harsh at first, but then in the end you guys resolve something and create a fascinating storyline or a fascinating character. But it
And
takes a little work to get there.
And I gotta say too, Stefania, like one thing I like to say to cosplayers who play Rogue, you know, I've seen all kinds of people play Rogue or cosplay Rogue, and it doesn't matter what color, what creed, what nationality, what gender, it doesn't matter. And I say, you know, there's a little Rogue in all of us, right? Because
I
everybody.
love, sorry. I love seeing men cosplay as Rogue. That's like one of my favorite things ever because I love gender bending cosplay. Like somebody told me I should do Gambit and I was like 100% I'd do that, but I have to like actually work on the cosplay and make it and I have to find time to do that. But that is a plan of mine. But I
Is
love
that?
gender bending.
Well, that was going to be a question that was going to come up, which is if you could do any cosplay, which one would it be? Is Gambit? Oh,
No, I'm just kidding. I don't have anything planned.
I was like, we got that recorded. That's it. We know your Gambit will one day be coming.
I bought a Gambit coat in New York while I was there for the Comic Con. One of those, a long brown
Oh,
leather coat, which
dusters.
I love. So I'm going to be wearing that. But you know
Oh.
who I like to cosplay as?
Who?
Who?
Green Goblin.
Stop!
Green Goblin. I would like to cosplay her.
Oh, yes, you would totally slay that. I could see it like, oh my gosh, you do have that like Green Goblin, like Norman Osborn energy.
Thank you.
I don't know
I
if
mean,
that
I
was a
could.
compliment there.
I could also do Rogue at the Hellfire Gala, right? You
Oh
know,
yeah.
that green and black outfit. That what's the Spanish?
Luciano Vehico.
Yeah, Luciano Vehico. I want someone to create that look for me. And in fact, there is a designer with Vera Wang who said he might give it a try and try and create something for me like that for a gown.
Well, you know, this is for Lenore from our San Diego panel that we did, and Luciano designed this too
Oh, did
for
he
of
do that
her.
one? I
Yeah, he
love it.
did that
And
one.
actually, look.
Oh, you saw the sticker. Yes. I
Ah!
need to order some
My
more.
phone. It's on my phone. I'm the only one with that on my phone. So I know which one's mine.
Yes.
I
We
love him. I love his stuff.
Stefania, so what do you have a favorite season of the X-Men animated? Just out of
Oh, right.
curiosity.
I forgot about
Sorry
that
to go back
question.
to that. Sorry, I have my little list here. I'm like, wait a minute, did I get that?
I don't remember what season it was, but I love the Days of Future Past storyline. What season was that?
Season one.
Okay, yeah, then that's it. I love that
No.
storyline so much in the comics and in the cartoon. And also the movie, the X-Men movie. That was
Oh.
probably my favorite out of all of them, I would say. I just love the concept and, you know, future and past stuff. It always intrigued me. So seeing that and reading that for the first time was pretty fun.
I agree. I love that stuff too, that time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Lenore, do you remember your last day in the studio recording the original series?
No, I just remember the party.
Wait, what was the part?
Mostly.
You have to tell us a party, man.
Details.
Details on that.
No. What happens at the X-Men party stays in
Ha
the X-Men party.
That's
No, but
fair.
we had a party and we ended up at Cal's place with his swimming pool, as everybody who's ever watched Cal online when he's doing his songs and singing, he's by his swimming pool. So it ended up there, and let's just say it went on for a little longer than what he expected. Some people didn't even leave for a couple of days.
I am
No.
so jealous.
I
Oh,
know.
would
We
have
had so
loved to
much
party there.
fun. Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe I like.
Same. I
I
love
once stayed
party.
at a party till like 5 a.m. So.
I mean, I
Only
was at a party till
five?
5. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I was like on a Tuesday night. I was there
Jesus.
until 5 a.m. Come
I'm just
on,
a
girl.
beginner.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I loved theater so much too, because you know, you could do your show, you vamped up, you got ready for the show at 8 o'clock, and then you did it. You were home by, you know, you were done by 10, 10:30 maybe, and then you go out and we'd all go out together and we'd all party and hang out and have a really good time and then sleep in the next day and get up and do it again.
Yes,
So
I
that
loved the theater parties that we had. We had this theater house. So it was a designated house that we'd go to. It was down the street from the school, and that's where we'd go for the parties. And it was always so much fun because theater people, we have our little cliques. It happens. But when we all are together, it's just one big fun vibe. And especially when you've had such a great performance that night, the party is just so much better. We would
And
also go to like this diner
okay.
afterwards, and we'd have to call ahead and be like, yeah, there's gonna be 30 of us coming in like 10 minutes. So just so you know that. And they'd be
I think
like, oh, these
I was
people
gonna
again.
say, and did you enjoy like every night after the show, whether it was a good show or bad show, just
Oh,
talking to
yeah.
each other about, where did it go off the rails? Well, how was this moment? Well, how was that moment for you? I mean, it makes you, again, it's family, right? It's
Yes.
community, it's belonging. And I found my family with the theater, and now I found my family with the X-Men. And X-Men, our community, we are familia. And I really appreciate you, Paul, for pointing that and all of us being part of it.
I want to ask some questions on X-Men 97, but Stefania, I'm really curious about you as a theater person and taking what you've learned in theater and bringing it to Instagram, to video making, and sort of your approach with that. Because again, you post a video, there is a level of engagement with people. Like, I know when you pop up, I have to stop and see it. What sort of, like, when you're sitting down and you're thinking of content and bringing that to the familia, what is your approach? I'm just curious.
Well, I do a lot of research on trends that are happening on social media, just to see if there's like things that I can incorporate that and like the X-Men with, especially with the X-Men. If there's like a really funny concept that I could think of with X-Men characters, I'll do it. But I actually started with social media because I had this like whole mental breakdown before I graduated college. I graduated in 2021. This was like maybe January, February, and I graduated in May. And I had this mental breakdown. I didn't know what I was going to do after college because, COVID was still a thing. COVID happened and it kind of ruined my chances for the future, I thought. And so then I went to sleep one night and woke up the next day and had this kind of epiphany, that I think I should try this out, try social media out. I've always loved dressing up. I've always loved acting and performing, and also like singing. I love doing musicals. And I just took what I learned from theater and put it on video and put it on social media. And I was like dressing up, acting, content creating. I could put all three together and see what that comes up with. But yeah, so it's really just a lot of research on trends. And then if there, I'll just be thinking one day or just lying down in bed one day and I'll be thinking and like, this would actually be a really cool concept to do or a funny idea to do. And then it's always like picking the right sound too, because you have to see what's trending and there's a lot of research into posting and creating content. But yeah.
Well, I
That's
mean,
amazing.
the engagement is incredible, and the Rogue, you're able to bring that to Rogue. And it literally, when I see your videos, and again, the surprise, surprise one, your Outback era Rogue, it's the embodiment of the character, and it's such a pleasure to see.
Yeah, that's another thing that I do whenever I'm playing a character. I love to do research on the character. So when I found Rogue, I learned so much about her, and then it took time for me to do that. And then a year later, I was like, all right, now I'm gonna do cosplaying, and now I'm gonna kind of bring her to life in content creating. But that's what I love to do the most is studying my characters, because I always feel like if you're going to perform this character, you really need to think and research what this character would do in this moment. How are they feeling at this point? One of my directors actually had us for each line or each page, really, of our script, we'd write down an adjective of our character, of that line, what our character was feeling. And that helped us perform the character more and better. Really build us. So that's what I love doing a lot. I learned some, I learned from some great people in theater, and I, without them, I would not be where I am because I was such a shy person growing up. My first official time doing theater, I'll say, was senior year of high school. And so that really helped me get out of my shell, but then going to college helped me a lot more because that was a different setting. College is much different than high school. So yeah, that's my story.
Oh gosh, I love that story so much.
Yeah. And that's interesting because it was theater that got me out of my shell too when I was like 15 in grade 10, because we'd moved over to Canada from Australia. And so I left all my little friends behind, right? And I had to constantly keep making new friends and trying to fit in. And I had this weird Australian accent that nobody could understand. And the kids would ask me, like, what language do they speak in Australia?
Oh my God. Kids are terrible.
I know, right?
Doesn't
And
matter when, they
so,
are terrible.
I remember I showed up to first day of class in grade 3 in Regina, Saskatchewan, and I was 8, and I broke my arm playing around, and I showed up to school with this cast, and I had long hair in braids and this weird little Australian accent, and the kids said, "Oh, what happened to you?" I fell off a wall. They go, "What? You what?" I went, "I fell off a wall." And they're like, "A wall? What's a wall?" And I'm like, "Well, that's one of those big things you climb up and you fall down." So I was always trying to kind of fit in and be with the, try and get into like maybe the cool group or whoever, or get under the wing of somebody who they liked and who was funny so that they'd leave me alone, not pick on me. But then, so then in grade 10, I auditioned for the high school musical, which was Guys and Dolls, and I auditioned for Adelaide, Miss Adelaide,
Oh.
person who can develop a cold. And I got the part. And then next thing you know, like I was like, this is what you did, what you just said. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yes.
I want to be in theater.
Yes. I actually, when I auditioned for the musical in college, it was a chorus line. And I was super, super, I loved a chorus line. I was super,
Me
super
too.
nervous. And I went to the audition. I was like, I know I butchered this audition, but I still got casted in the show anyway. But I was a cut dancer. So in the beginning, they cut dancers because you're auditioning to be on a chorus line. It's very meta if you think about it. But then the next year, but next semester, that's it. We did a cabaret, not the cabaret musical. That was in the fall, but we did like a theater cabaret, and I was in it, and I really like came out of my shell there. Like I actually like was so much better. I was singing a lot better because I wasn't nervous. And then that really helped me audition for cabaret in the fall. And I got a supporting role. I played Fräulein Cost, and I loved that role so much. And then basically I was typecasted after that. I had like the same type of role every time because I just gave off the energy and attitude, and I was that part for all throughout college. But
I can
yeah.
see you doing Sally Bowles too.
Oh God, my friend did Sally Bowles and she was perfect for it. But yes, I would love to do Sally Bowles too. My favorite musical is actually Chicago. I've
Yeah.
always wanted to do Chicago. Velma Kelly is my dream role.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like Roxy.
Roxy, yes. I feel like I could do Roxy, but I feel like I'm such a Velma more. I'm yeah, definitely. And then I saw the movie when I was like younger, and I was like, I fell in love with Catherine Zeta-Jones. I was like, I love her in this role. And so that just made me love the show even more.
My mouth is
Cool.
like jaw drop because I love hearing you both talk like this. I mean, this is the universe and X-Men putting us together, but
Yeah.
also Catherine Zeta-Jones with that role of Velma when she got her Oscar for it. She had like
Yes.
the paramedics on site because she was about ready to give birth. She was like 9 months pregnant. And I
Right.
love that BDE that she has for that. She's like, I'm showing up. I don't care if this baby's coming. I'll go in labor and get this Oscar myself, you know?
Right. Yeah, that was great.
But to ask you guys now, and let me hone in on you, Lenore. You know, you said goodbye to Rogue, you know, time went on, and now you get a call. What
Yeah.
was that call like for X-Men 97? Where were you? Were you like, is this serious? They're gonna revive this show? Like, where were you when this all happened?
Well, we were just talking about the lockdown and the COVID mandates, and we were all isolated in our homes and things like that. And I had just lost what was ended up being my fifth election. I won four elections as a politician. So for 12 years, I was a public figure and a public servant. And so my focus was on trying to create laws that would make a difference in people's lives and try to help, get rid of poverty, eliminate poverty, and deal with the climate crisis and try to help rights for women and indigenous issues and LGBTQ and all of these different kinds of things. And so I had just gone through hell, 2 years of hell, where we had the pandemic when I was a member of parliament, locked down in my house. My niece was we found out she had terminal cancer. She was only 17, and I started getting death threats because there had been a lar the largest mass shooting in Canada's history had taken place in my constituency, in my riding, during the pandemic, where 22 innocent people were gunned down by this crazed denturist who dressed up like a police officer and drove around in a fake police car. And so I was asked on TV, is it too soon to talk about gun control, more gun control in Canada? I said, it's never too soon to talk about more gun control if it's going to help save lives and help protect constituents. But so I was targeted then by the gun lobby, and I started getting all these death threats, and they said they were going to take me down as a politician. And in the end, that definitely helped take me down. But I was really hurting, and my niece had just died. I'd lost the election. I was really feeling at my lowest point, wondering what to do with the rest of my life. Was there, should there be a rest of my life? What was I here for? What was my purpose? I had lost any concept of what my purpose would be. And suddenly I got an email from a friend who said, oh, Lenore, I got this message from someone from Disney. They're looking to do this new series, and we're interested in trying to track you down. Would you be interested? And I'm like, if it's real, if this is something, of course, yeah, sure. I'll give them my phone number and get them to call me. And so then I got this call from Meredith Lane, casting director, for Disney, saying they were going to be bringing back this show. They were going to reboot this new show. They didn't want to say what it was, but could they send me some lines for me to take a look at and record and send it back to her? And I said, sure. I was in my house coat. I was disheveled. My hair was messy. It was still kind of like late fall. It was just I was just sort of out of sorts, but I went, okay. So I got the lines, and as soon as I read them, I went, this is Rogue. These are Rogue's lines. These are lines that I did 30 years ago. So I went, oh, that's interesting. So I just laid them down on my little trusty phone, MP3, turned it into an MP3, emailed it off. And again, thought, oh, well, whatever. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then about a month later, I got a message saying, well, Lenore, the producers really want to talk with you. Can we set up a Zoom meeting? Sure. And then I had this Zoom meeting with Bo and with Charlie Feldman. and also with Meredith. And they just got me to do some lines like with Meredith while during the Zoom thing. And then Bo just went, "Oh my God, Lenore, look, we got to tell you, we're having a conniption fit here. We can't believe we're trying to pinch ourselves, like as we're hearing you say these lines, like we love you so much and we'd love you to be part of this show. Will you please come back as Rogue?" And I was like, "Hell yeah, sugar, I'm ready. Sign me up and send me on my way."
Oh my gosh, that's
Wow.
incredible.
I know, right? So, like, your story about being at your lowest ebb and having mental health issues and, being so low and depressed, I was having the same thing. I was having the same thing. And, it's like we say in 12-step groups, don't give up before the miracle happens. So many people give up too soon, instead of just believing that, yeah, there is a purpose. Yes, there is another bolt of lightning coming. There is something around the corner that we do not see yet, but we are here for a purpose. And we need to wait and find out what that is and really look inside and find our inner superhero. Find our inner superpowers. Everybody has them. We all are unique in our own individual way. Let's figure out what makes me different and unique and then use them for the better good. And I think that's what you're doing. Really, you are,
You are. You
and
really are, Stefania.
you're
Like, it's
spreading
beautiful.
love. Lenore, you're gonna make me cry.
You're spreading love and light and fun and gaiety and just I love it. I love watching you. I love watching what you do. You're putting all your talents. You're the theater. It's like you're creating your own little plays, right? And you are the producer and the director and the star and the costume m mistress, costume designer. You're doing everything. And I think it's fantastic. And I think more people just need to get in touch with that, and it'll make them so much happier. And this all this anger and bitterness and resentment that is out there, we need to find what gives us joy because life is too short. Why waste it being angry and bitter and mean to other people? Why do it?
Yeah,
There's
well,
not.
that's I don't know what to say. Like I'm like about to cry.
I'll give you a big hug across the airwaves. When we come back to New York, we'll have to meet up and have coffee, or
Yes.
we'll
Well,
have lunch or something. Yeah.
you're in Connecticut, right,
I
Stefania?
am.
Okay,
Yeah, so I'm
great.
not far from New York.
Okay, great.
I'm actually going in a few weeks to New York, so
Great.
but
Well, I'm gonna
yeah.
be
There in April, I think. I think I'm gonna be there from April the 11th to the 15th.
Oh, you know who else is going to be here during that time? Lenore, Kyle. Kyle's going to be here during that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Oh, good.
let's try to sync something up there.
I think I'm going to be signing some Whatnot stuff for Whatnot for Unknown Comics,
Oh, I
signing some
love
new comic releases. Come
that.
fucking.
We're excited for that. Okay, let me give it one
April
final.
10th, I believe one's coming out that I will be signing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We're going to keep an eye out on that one.
You
Yeah.
better. You're
Okay.
gonna love it.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys one final. I can't believe we've already been going for an hour and a half. I feel like I've asked no
What?
questions. Yeah, I know. It's already 7:30.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask Lenore,
Yes.
how has your approach to Rogue changed now that you've returned for X-Men 97? How are you tackling her this go around?
To be honest, the show picks up right after the last episode ends, right? So the last episode, Graduation Day, was supposedly happening in 1996. So the new show picks up right after that. Rogue hasn't changed much in those few weeks. She's still the same Rogue. So I come at it as Rogue, the same Rogue from 30 years ago, which is who the fans love and they want to see and hear. And that's who they're gonna get. But as time goes on throughout the episodes and the seasons, Rogue will go through many different things and will have an arc that I love. And she will grow and change with that. And that's my job as an actor to then draw upon everything I've experienced in the last 30 years or longer and put that into my work and put that into my voice so that it colors the emotions that I put into my voice so that people can really feel it and again make them feel some kind of it will touch their hearts. It'll be my voice and the tonality of my voice touching their hearts and making them feel certain emotions as well. And to be honest, that's why I love being an actor. I love doing that.
Stefania.
I have to agree. That's like one of the best things about being an actor. Just like you're putting a piece of yourself into this character and you're making it your own. That's the best thing about being an actor. You get to make the character your own. There's going to be multiple people that will play that same character and yours will be unique. Each one will be unique. So that's you put your little flair and it becomes like Rogue is your character. That she's your character. How does it feel being like the only voice of Rogue? Like you are literally the only voice that I hear and everyone hears. I remember after I watched the show, every time I read the comics, I would just hear your voice, everyone's voice playing the characters all the time. I couldn't get it out of my head. You can't not, you know, you can't not think of your voice.
Well, you know, I just hope it makes people feel good to hear my voice in their heads. But I have heard from a lot of different fans who come up at the Comic Cons and online that, yeah, when they read it, whatever they read Rogue saying, they hear my voice. And, you know, I mean, I'm honored. That's an honor. That's a great legacy to have. And I'm just glad that I can put all my energy into the performance that will again energize the audience and every individual who loves the show and who loves Rogue.
Well, I have to thank you for
Including you.
that. I
That is a great way to end this interview.
Thank
I
you.
think that's a beautiful way to end it. Was there anything else you guys wanted to plug or talk about?
Maybe my book.
Yeah.
You
Do
ask me about that?
yeah, yeah,
The
yeah.
book.
Let's do. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Lenore, I know you've been working on a very special project. You've been working on a memoir. We talked about it at LA Comic Con. You have so many beautiful, incredible stories there. What can you tell us about the book? When's it coming out? What can we expect?
Aw, thanks, Paul. Thanks for asking me. Listen, the book, my memoir, is called Lenore Zann, A Rogue's Tale. Right? And it will cover my life growing up in Australia, in the bush, in the outback in Australia, coming over to Canada, America, all around the world, the acting career, going into politics, becoming an X-Men. Going into politics and then coming back and becoming an X-Men, a superhero again. And there's a lot of interesting stories in there. It'll be out next fall. It'll be out in the fall. It's Potter's Field Press is publishing it, and Nimbus Publishing will be distributing it, and it will be available also on Amazon. So wait till the fall and check out A Rogue's Tale. And if you happen to run into me at the Comic Cons, I'll probably have a bunch of books there that I will sign autographed copies and give to you. So, yeah, I've only got two more chapters to go and I'm done.
Well, you know, the second those pre-order links are out there, especially on Amazon, we are going to be spamming the internet with them because
Yep.
I am
Thank you.
so excited. I don't want to spoil anything because I've read pages and we've talked about it. I don't want to spoil it for the people at home, but there you talk about your first day in office. You talk about something that happened that I thought was so interesting and so fascinating, and you talk about your journey with sobriety. And I just want to say that as someone who has been following you for such a long time, who sees you as a real life hero, hearing these stories and everything you've gone through, it's truly a pleasure. This is a book everyone needs to read, even if you're not an X-Men fan, just to see the journey of a human being and sort of overcoming a lot of obstacles. It is a fantastic project that I cannot wait for this world to read.
And then Paul, I guess then after it's published, then we'll have to figure out who's going to play me in the biopic or the
I don't know. I think we have a candidate right here.
right? Yeah,
Yes.
sugar.
Can you wait, Stefania? Can you do your best sugar? Like, yeah, sugar.
Oh God, you're putting me on the
I
spot.
know. Welcome to Power of X, but.
Well, I can't promise it's gonna be any good, but I'll just say thanks, sugar.
That's cute. That's good. I like that.
All right, I'm embarrassed. Bye.
Wait, Stefania. Wait, what cons do you have coming up? Where can folks engage with you? Where are people seeing you next? And when are you doing the pink jumpsuit, the Joe Mad pink jumpsuit of Rogue? That is my only request. Please.
I love, okay, that's one of my favorite suits from Rogue, and I actually met the artist, and I have the comic cover, met him and got it signed by him. The Shi'ar suit is one of my favorite looks from her of all time, especially because like she rocks a ponytail so well, and I love how sharp the design was of all of the Shi'ar looks. But the next con I'm going to is probably going to be Terrificon in Connecticut in Hartford.
Okay.
So that's the next one I have planned, at least. I don't know along the way if anything's going to happen, but that's the one I have planned. But then you can also find me on social media on Instagram, TikTok. I'm at Stefania Sasano on TikTok and Twitter, and then Instagram at Stefania underscore Sasano. They didn't have without the underscore available, so that's all right. But that's where you guys can find me. And then I'm also on YouTube too with the same name.
I
And
love your videos. I love your
I've
videos. I
been
love
trying to
your
be constant with it, but it's very hard.
YouTube is a hard medium to break.
Very,
It's very,
very.
we've been trying to do it for the last year. And like some days you get like really great views. Other days you're like, no one cared. It's such an
Yeah.
interesting medium.
Wait, I'm actually.
They didn't care because they dropped the X-Men trailer.
Yes. I mean,
Yes.
listen.
Yes. So the
Millions went there.
Well, Lenore, like, well, first of all, Lenore, wait. I know I'm seeing you on the 13th in LA, so that's going to be fun. And then where?
On the 13th. Yes. But we I'm gonna be at three cons that I know of for sure this summer. I'll be in Jacksonville, Florida, from the 8th till the 10th. I'll also be in Toronto on the 16th, the 15th and 16th of this month, and Disney's going to be playing an episode of the show there then. And then I'm also going to be in WonderCon in LA the end of the summer. But there's a few other ones in there too. Phoenix, I'm going to be in Phoenix, a couple of others, but those are the main ones for right now.
Lenore, obviously I spam you every day on Instagram. Folks know where to hit you up, but in the off chance that they don't, what are your Instagram and Twitter handles?
Well, for Instagram, I'm at Lenore Zann, LenoreZann. And on Twitter or X, I'm at Zan Lenore, just my name reversed. But I love conversing with the fans on both. So yeah, follow me and you oftentimes will get a little conversation going with me.
You answer a lot of comments and DMs. And I know anytime that I post something about Rogue, we're telling like the content, like just gets so much engagement, hundreds of thousands of views, and that is all you. So, Mutants, I have to tell you, what an honor it has been to just be a fly on the wall in this conversation. You two have so much in common. Thank you so much for your
Thank
time
you.
today.